Well, amen. Let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I'm going to begin reading verse 1 through 7. If any of you men can give me a hand this afternoon, we need to put heat tape on these downspouts. And it won't take that long to do that. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them need to be done. Either that or we're going to advertise, we're going to have church and you get a shower while we're having church. Amen. We didn't put any heat tape on there, so they froze up, and now they're thawing out on the inside, and they're supposed to warm up tomorrow, and supposed to get rain, and going to have all kinds of water coming down, so we need to get that taken care of. And so if you can give me a hand this afternoon, let me know before you leave, okay? Probably about 2 o'clock I'll be able to come over and start doing that. Psalm 103, Visions of Change, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together this morning and this first Sunday in a new year. Lord, we're certainly excited about the possibilities and opportunities that we have to bring glory to your name. And Lord, we might be able to see multitudes of people come to know Christ as their Savior as we reach out to each and every person that we come in contact with, Lord. And so I pray that you'd help us to allow the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts, the grace of God, to reveal what needs to be changed or what needs to be strengthened. Maybe there's some things that need to be removed. But Lord, we want to be a vessel that's clean, ready, prepared for all that God wants to do through us. And so, Lord, will you help us this morning? Will you speak to us in a special way? I pray, God, if there's someone here who's not saved, Lord, you know their heart. I pray that you'd bring conviction upon them, Lord, and that they would be so stirred by the Spirit of God, they would come and receive Christ as their Savior. Thank you, God, for your love this morning, and thank you for this new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Visions of change. Verse 5 is our text verse. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oftentimes, when we come into a new year, our thoughts often are directed to the changes that we have to face and things that we have to deal with. And everybody's trying to figure out about the new tax law now. We got a big major change with all that. Oftentimes we have maybe a change in direction as far as your job or as far as your education or whatever it might be. But that's on our minds. It's a new year. We have all kinds of new opportunities to be able to see the will of God being accomplished in our life. Many people make New Year's resolutions only to break them before January's even gone. Amen. And I never make a resolution to lose weight in January, that's for sure. It doesn't work in May, so what's the sense of doing it in January? Anyway, God does want to work in our lives. He does want to work real change in our life. I remember when I got saved, I mean, you talk about dramatic changes in a person's life. I'm glad that God does work change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's a major change that takes place. And I believe that God wants to do some things in us this year. David, in his old age, in Psalm 103, he's an old man. In his old age, he's crying out for strength. And he's crying for strength as it was in his youth. He is acknowledging that God is the one who satisfies and strengthens us. And oftentimes what we'll do is we'll turn to the world to find satisfaction in life. And you'll never be satisfied in the world. It is only God who satisfies the soul of man. And it is only God that gives us the strength to meet the demands each and every day. And David is acknowledging the satisfaction and the strengthening of God. He literally is pouring out his whole being before God. In verse 1, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, And he says, and all that is within me. I mean, he's not holding back anything. He wants to experience God in a great way. He wants to the personality of God and the wisdom of God and the strength of God. He wants to be able to experience it even in his old age. He's not wanting to back off. He's not wanting to take it easy because he's an old man now. He's wanting God to bring change in his life so that he might be able to continue to serve him and glorify him. So he pours his whole heart and his whole being into this cry to his God. He noticed the benefits of God are experienced in David's life, and he lists them here in verse 3 and 4. He says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. The forgiveness of God. Certainly David was someone that you could completely comprehend the depth of the forgiveness of God when you think of what his life was. And you think of just his infidelity with Bathsheba. You think of his sin of numbering the people of Israel. I mean, David understood what it was needed when it comes to this matter of the forgiveness of God. And he's rejoicing, acknowledging the fact that benefits of God are precious because he forgives. But not only that, the healing of God. In verse 3, he says, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I'm thankful that God is still the divine physician. I'm thankful that he can still bring strength in our bodies, and I'm glad he can still heal even in 2018. Notice the redemption of God in verse 4. Says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We came before the Lord's table this morning, and one of the principles of rejoicing at the Lord's table is that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been bought with a price, and because we've been bought with that price, we have life. We've been delivered from destruction. And David is saying, listen, there are some benefits to being a child of God. And it's not just forgiveness and healing and redemption, but it's also in verse 4, the mercy of God. He says this, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I'm thankful that God sheds his mercy upon us day by day. And oftentimes I think we lose sight of a vision of how God continues through his mercy to work changes in our life. He's old, but he longs for a change. I read this quote I thought was pretty good. Oftentimes, we mark our Bibles, but however, our Bibles do not mark us. And David wanted God to do something special in his life, even at this stage of being an old man. And how we need to long for God to continue to work change in our lives. I don't want to be satisfied where I am at this stage in life. I want to know at this stage in life, what is it that God wants to change so he can do something greater in my life? Oftentimes we're satisfied with status quo. We're satisfied just getting by, when in reality the Bible shows forth that we ought to be desiring even a more and more presence and move of God in our life. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want to be able to each and every day of my life to be able to continue to soar with the strength of God and be able to walk in the presence of God, being able to know that, wait a minute, the God who saved me many years ago is still the God that's with me right here in 2018. So when I read the Bible, when I study about who God is, when I talk to God in my prayers, I want him to touch me. I want him to change me. I want him to move upon me. I'm not satisfied with just praying and not experiencing God. I'm not satisfied with reading the Bible and not getting something to change my heart and my life. I want to be changed by the Almighty. Visions of change. First of all, notice it's a spiritual renewing that takes place. A spiritual renewing that takes place in verse 1 and 2. Psalms 103, 1 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Notice David's recognition here. He's recognizing that he must cry out to God with his whole heart and soul. He is understands in verse 1 that his name is holy. We don't talk about God's name and refer to God in a lighthearted manner. He is holy. He is the creator of this universe. And so there ought to be a reverence for who he is. And he wants to bless him because God's benefits are always present with us. And I think sometimes we forget the benefits of being a Christian. I heard the other day on the radio, they were saying about statistically that 42%, at least this survey they had, 42% of young people, when they go off to college, stop going to church. And there was this whole program, I forget the program it was on, but they were all going through all this, trying to assess and evaluate and discuss. Everything today is we need to have a discussion about this. We need to have a conversation. And they're talking about this, why, you know, trying to determine, I guess, why young people are ceasing to go to church. And I'm sitting in the car, I'm driving down, and I was like, I'll tell you right now, there's only one reason. And it's a lack of love and devotion to God. You say, how can you say that? Because David longed in his old age to experience the presence of God. And I think we've so demeaned the personality of God that he's no longer important. He's no more longer significant in our life. Well, we need to recognize that God stirs the whole soul, stirs the whole being of who we are. And if he's important for us to worship and praise him when we're young, then bless God, it's important when we get old to bless his name also. David's recognition, notice, there was a dependence of hope on hope. And we still need to hope in God. Woe be the person who starts to live their life where they do not consider it's necessary for them to depend upon God. Dependence on hope. Psalm 43 in verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the healeth of my countenance and my God. See, that he had dependence on hope. David understood what it was to be in a point of despair, but he also understood what it was to pour out his heart before his God and depend on his Lord, that he would not turn his back on him and that he would continue to strengthen him in the hour and the need and the time of his distress. And I want you to know that we need a spiritual renewing each and every day based on the reality that without God, there is no hope. Without God, there's no direction. Without God, there is no meaning in our life. Not only does he have a dependence on hope, but he has an expression of praise. In Psalm 146, in verse 1, if I can get over there, I'll get over there. Psalm 146, 1 says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, while I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. See, spiritual renewal comes when we acknowledge the fact that when we're dry, when we're callous, when we're indifferent to spiritual things, there needs to be a spirit of revival. There needs to be a spirit of renewing. There needs to be a refreshing of our soul that, wait a minute, there is only hope when I walk with my God, and there is only joy and rejoicing when I'm praising my God. And so David understood he needed to recognize the effect that God had on his soul. And may I say, there is nothing more life-changing and nothing more powerful than experiencing a personal encounter with God down deep in the recesses of your soul. Our God is real, amen? And he's real down deep in our soul. And we need to worship and praise him. And if we're not in that position, then we need to say, God, what needs to be changed? What needs to be experienced of who God is in my life? So David's recognition. We see Paul's admission. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul's admitting something. He's acknowledging something about the Christian life. Notice, first of all, he's acknowledging the fact that there's an outward opposition. He says, though our outward man perish. You know, I've watched over the years, people may get some sickness or disease, and or maybe they get old and their body just isn't functioning the way it used to function, the way we desire for it to function. And the next thing you know, we don't want to worship God anymore. We don't want to go to church anymore. We want to become accusatory towards God because of what we're facing or experiencing on the outward. Or somebody gets mad at you. Somebody gets belligerent with you. I thought it was interesting. I know there was quite a few people passing out those little gift packs or whatever for Christmas and not hanging them on the doors of people's homes and this, that, and the other, inviting them out to church, giving them a nice track inside, a gift for you. It was a little gift thing. It was, and you open it up, it was the gospel inside and everything. Well, one person mailed it back to us. And they mailed it back to us in an envelope, and they put the return address, Ocean County Baptist Church. They wanted to make sure the thing wasn't coming back to them, or we weren't going to find out who they were, amen? But they wanted to make sure they gave it back to us, and they didn't want anything to do with it. You can look at that and say, well, you know, people act belligerent, and people are unkind, and we're trying to be loving and caring to somebody, and they just reject it. Hey, that's what life is. That's what we experience on the outward. And Paul certainly had zeal and aggressiveness in persecuting the church. And when he got saved, his life was changed, where he became aggressive for the gospel of Christ. And listen, he understood that in that mode of living, there was outside opposition continually against him. Listen, don't turn your back on God because things fell apart in your life. Don't turn your back on God maybe because you just lost your job. I thought it was interesting. I was listening to a report on the radio the other day. And they were saying about how many jobs are going to be lost in the next 5 years because of the fact that the technology that is in our society now, the jobs that you're working right now are going to become obsolete. And you're not going to have a job. I said, well, that really sounds exciting for 2018. And I forget how many hundreds or thousands of jobs listings they had. They were advertising that you could get this list. And I'm thinking, okay, you want a job? You want me to buy this list off of you? But anyway, about all these jobs that are going to be phased out. You know, you look at our history as a nation. You look at it. You look at what used to be top-paying jobs years ago. They're no longer in existence. And listen, there have been multitudes of people who have lost their jobs. The outward circumstances in their life has completely changed. The sad thing is, when that happens, I've watched people just turn their back on God. When that happens, you need a spiritual renewing. You need God to work a change in your life in the reality. Wait a minute, all the circumstances in life may change, but God never changes. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. And he wants to work a change in you, outward opposition. But also Paul admitted this, his admission was this, there was inward consolation. He says, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And see, if you allow the Lord to speak to your heart, and you allow the Lord to bring change in your heart, it does not matter what goes on around you, because the Lord that is in you gives you peace that the world cannot comprehend or understand. And he blesses us, and David was rejoicing. Everything had changed in David's life. But he said, I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm satisfied with him because he'll renew me as a young man. He'll strengthen me as an eagle. And he was resting in his God, spiritual renewing. Notice not only is David's recognition and Paul's admission, but there's my supposition. So based on what David experienced, based on what Paul has acknowledged, what should be my supposition in life? First of all, there's three things I must be. First of all, stirred by God. And I must allow the Spirit of God to burn deep in my soul. Luke chapter 24 and 32 says, and they said one towards another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, And while he opened to us the scriptures, we know these are the men that were walking down the road to Emmaus after the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is speaking to them, and they acknowledge the fact that there was a burning down in their soul because of the words, the scriptures that Jesus revealed to them. I must be stirred by God each and every day. Because if I'm not stirred by God, I'm not going to be changed for His glory. I'm going to be changed for acceptance in the world. I need God to stir me. Listen, some of you have been saved a long time. Are you as excited about God today as you were when you got saved? Some of you young people, you got saved years, few years ago or whatever. Are you on fire for God today? Or is it you're just kind of dabbling with things in the world and you're not really that interested because God doesn't burn down deep in your soul and stir your heart? I'm telling you, we need a stirring from God like we used to get a stirring from God. And if we'll be stirred by God, then certainly I'll have a spiritual renewing. So my supposition is not only I must be stirred by God, but I must be satisfied with God. In other words, I can't let anything else become my source of satisfaction. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And we need to just be satisfied with the Lord. If you don't have anybody else, is Jesus Christ enough? Because the reality is you'll have friends that will abandon you. You'll have family that will hate you. You have a world that despises you. You have a devil who attacks you. And we have a tendency to try to find satisfaction in life through all kinds of other means. The reality is if it's Christ and Christ alone, is that enough? Because the bottom line is there is going to come a day, I really believe with all my heart, where that's all you're going to have. And it's Christ and Christ alone. Are you satisfied with Christ? You say, I'm not satisfied. You need a spiritual renewing. You need God to change your satisfaction and your desires. I love fishing. I have a boat. I love to go fishing whenever I can. But I can tell you one thing right now, I don't get out very often. And I can tell you why, because of the fact that I'd rather be doing the Lord's work. I'd rather be involved in other things. And, you know, I'm just, that doesn't capture my attention to the point where I'm no longer satisfied with the Lord. I don't look at it and say, well, I didn't get to go fishing very much this year. What's the matter with you, God? You didn't bless me. You didn't give me the time off I need. No, I don't care whether I go fishing or not. God is enough. I don't care whether I have friends or not. God is enough. Christ is sufficient to satisfy everything in our life. If we're not experiencing that, then you need a change. You need a change. Not only is my supposition that I must be stirred by God and satisfied with God, but I must be sustained by God. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God can take care of you, and he can provide for you. You need not fear tomorrow because God's with you today. And if God's with you today, he's already got tomorrow under control. Amen? And he can take care of us. George Mueller wrote in his diary on May the 9th, 1941, and it's a lengthy quote, so just listen up. I didn't put it on the screen. He said this, "It has pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, the benefit of which I have not lost for more than 14 years. The point is this, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord." He goes on to say the first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished. Now, I think sometimes what we do, especially we Baptists, we have a tendency to think, well, as long as I'm doing, then I'm happy in the Lord. But you don't take any time to be alone with God. You're happy with embracing the busyness. You're not happy with embracing the one who gives you the opportunity to be busy for him. And we put the cart before the horse, as they say. And we need to be sustained by God and God alone. And I'm thankful that we have opportunities to work for God. I'm thankful that we can be witnesses for the Lord. I'm thankful for all those things. But the most important thing is I'm thankful for the Lord. And if we're not, we need a spiritual renewing. Notice there's a practical renewing, not just spiritual, but there's a practical renewing. There's a process, and here's the process. The process is intellectual. In other words, in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We know Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. There is an intellectual approach to this change that God will work in our lives, and that is that God renews the spirit of our mind. We start thinking differently. I'm going to tell you right now, the way I view life right now is not the way I viewed life back in 1970. The way I view success today is not like I viewed success in 1977 and 78. Matter of fact, the way I approach life today is not even the same way that I used to approach life and think about life when I was in Bible college. Because I found this, that wait a minute, all these things that used to intrigue me and I enjoyed grabbing a hold of and being involved in and all the busyness of life, wait a minute, captured my thought process in reference to who God is. I needed God to renew the spirit of my mind and focus on Christ and Christ alone. It is an intellectual journey, if you will, a practical renewing. Not only is it intellectual, but it's identifiable. In Colossians 3:10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, and here it is, after the image of him that created him. So when we talk about renewing or God bringing a change, it's not just changing the way we think about things. It changes how we look in reference to things. Because he wants us to be conformed to the knowledge of his image. He wants us to be like Christ. And so we're identifiable. People ought to be able to look at you. And they ought to be able to say, you know, that person is different. That person is a Christian. You know, I never saw them act that way before. I never saw them live that way before. There's something different about that. There is a tangible, identifiable character that's experienced because of the renewing work of God in our hearts. And so it's intellectual, it's identifiable, and it's transformable. In Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I have found this in a practical way. If I'll try to gain the mind of Christ, it is a natural thing. I'll start living like Christ and being like Christ. They say the longer you're married, the more you become like each other. My wife and I have been married for 40 years, and it's a dangerous thought if she's taking on my character traits. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing. I know my wife in a way that I did not know her when I first met her. And I know a whole lot about her. Amen. You want the goods, come see me. Amen. But the longer you're with somebody, the more you understand them, the more you become like them. Doesn't it make sense that the longer that we're a Christian, the farther we ought to be away from the world and the more we ought to be like Christ? It's just a natural thing. And because of that, we're transformed in the image of the Son of God. A.T. Pearson said this. I think I put this on the screen. I did. It says, he who rushes in the presence of God to hasten through a few formal petitions and then hastens back to outside cares and pursuits, does not tarry long enough to lose the impression of what is without and get the impression of what is within the secret chamber. I think many times what we do, we're not changed because we don't spend enough time in his presence. And if we spend more time in his presence, it'll be a natural thing. Everything on the outside will start becoming disinteresting and be disconnected from us because we're totally connected with Christ and Christ alone. And so there is a spiritual renewal and there's a practical renewal. Then there's a relational renewal, renewing. In Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Robert Murray McShay said this, what a man is alone with God, that is what he is, nothing more and nothing less. See, we try to present ourselves on the outward, you know, this is what I am. No, that's not what you are. What you really are is when you're alone in the presence of God. We are saved by conviction. We are not saved by works. We're not saved by prayers. We're saved because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon us. In John 14, verse 7, Jesus said, if you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and see him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me? I kind of grasp the thought that Paul says in Ephesians, ye have not so learned Christ. They're saying, show us the Father. And he said, you've been this long with me, and you've not known me? Then he goes on and says, Philip, he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus is just posing a spirit of conviction on him that if you're wanting to know God the Father and you don't even comprehend who Christ is, you've missed the whole boat. You missed the whole opportunity. And so a relational renewal is everything is based on a conviction about who Jesus Christ is. But there's a living by conviction, because in verse 13 and 14, of John chapter 14, it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There is a living by conviction. We're saved by the conviction of who Christ is, and we live based on what Christ will do in our lives. Now, here's six things. I'm going to give you the scripture reference, because we don't have time to look up all the verses. But what does it mean to live by conviction? First of all, it means intensity. Intensity. I've had over the years people say, you know, Pastor, you're just too intense. You don't know how intense I am. Amen. I'm going to get a whole lot more intenser. Amen. If that's a word. Psalm 86:12 says, with all my heart. That's intensity. With all my heart. It doesn't say when you can fit me in your schedule. It says with all my heart. Not only intensity, but purity. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 2. Paul says, with all purity. With all purity. And so when we live by conviction, we live based on the purity of the eternal Son of God. There's loyalty. In John chapter 6 in verse 68. Peter said, to whom shall we go? Well, I don't know what I should do about my marriage. Maybe I'll go talk to my friend at work. Oh, to whom shall you go? Thou hast the words of life. Well, you know what I'm saying? I'm just really having problems with my personal life, so I'm going to talk to some friends. I'm going to go to a secular counselor, or I'm going to go talk to this person. No, no. We're loyal to Christ. He has the words of life. That's what living by conviction is. Notice consistency. I'm getting ready to say some of the things in my Sunday school lesson. I don't want to do that. I want to cross over in that. Consistency. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, consistent. consistent. If it's right to be a soul winner years ago, it's right to be a soul winner now. If it's right to tithe years ago, it's right to tithe now. If it's right to live a separated holy life years ago, it's right now. Consistency. Priority. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And priority, setting priorities in your life. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what the issue is. If there's something that comes up in my life that conflicts with something that I'm doing for God or how I live for the Lord, I can tell you right now who gets the priority. Christ gets the priority. You know, it's cold outside and people are wanting to close church and all this, that, and the other. No, we're opening the doors up. You can get here, amen. You go to the store and get bread, and then you can get to church. You know, we get up and we go to, you know, Dunkin' Donuts is open. You can still get Dunkin' Donuts coffee when it's snowing out. Bless God, we ought to be able to get some church donuts, amen, when it's snowing outside. Priorities, just setting priorities. Lord, bring a change. But then necessity. Necessity. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity. And Paul just was acknowledging the fact that, wait a minute, there was a relationship that he had with God that placed upon him a burden to strive to fulfill everything that God had called him to do. Now, David's an old man. I like listening to old men. And David's an old man. In verse 5, he says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. God always satisfies us. And then he says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He's saying, listen, because God satisfies me, then God can renew me and God can strengthen me and God can enable me to do the things that's desirous on my heart. And I want you to know, in 2018, God wants to do something in your life. God wants to move in a great way. God wants to bless. You might have to have a relational renewal with the Lord. You might need a spiritual renewing. You might need just some practical things to come into your life, decisions to be made each day so that God has the number one place in your life. And then all of a sudden the change starts working. So visions of change. What do you see yourself doing in 2018? What spiritual impact is on your heart for 2018? Who do you have on your prayer list for 2018 to try to lead to the Lord? Who do you have on your prayer list in 2018 to try to do discipleship with? You know, you either got to get a vision of what it is that God wants to do and change in your life. You say, well, if I did that, boy, I'm going to have to change some things in my schedule. Great, change it. Well, if I did that, I'd have to really change my own devotionals. Kind of going to have, what if somebody asks me a question and I don't have the answer? Change. Study. Get the Word of God hid in your heart so you can answer the questions that they have. David was mindful that he was becoming an old man, but he knew that God could bring changes in his life even as an old man. I want you to know God can move changes, make changes in your life in 2018. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you for David. We're thankful, Lord, that the opportunities that you give us are magnificent, Lord. And you've done great things through us in 2017. We're looking, Lord, for 2018 with great hope, with a great vision that things will be different, that God will move in a great way, and there'll be multitudes that'll be saved. So bless us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.